bless you, preacher.
Amen. God bless you, brother. Amen. Glad to be back here tonight. How many of you glad to be here tonight?
Amen.
All right. At least nobody said, oh no. We'd have to. You know, I thank the Lord every day for what He does for me. Because I know we don't have to do nothing. But I do thank Him every day for what He does do, and not only what He does do, what He's going to do, what He can do, and what He is going to do. Not in just the months ahead, but even right now. You know, I was thinking about a verse of scripture there where I was over there in the book of Matthew, which I'm going to be bringing a message, the Lord's willing, over here in the Psalms, the 23rd chapter there, and I'm going to try my very best to look at all six verses here, but here in Matthew chapter 7, in verse 7, is speaking about the encouragement that we need to pray. And it says right here in verse 7, says, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be open unto you. Ask, seek, and knock. Take the first letter of each one of them, and what you got? Always end back up to ask. We must ask the Lord to help us in our walk, in our daily life. We must ask Him what He would have me to do today. And we need to ask Him who that He wants us to go and see, and what we must say unto them. And I believe if we'll look, if we'll keep bearing at heart, we can be faithful to Him, not only faithful, but He will encourage each one of us. And if the Lord doesn't bring encouragement to us, the world is not going to bring any kind of encouragement to us. So, but here tonight in Psalms chapter 23, I want to bring you this message tonight, walking through the valley. Walking through the valley. We know in the first verse there in Psalms 22 is speaking about, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of thy rowing? And the first verse in chapter 24 says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell in it. So we must cry to God and ask Him what He wants us to do for Him. And says, why art thou so far from helping me? Have you been in a time in your life when you just feel like that your prayers are not getting no farther than maybe the top of your head or the ceiling? You just don't seem like that God is hearing us. I've been like that time and time again. But you know, the Lord does hear us. And He's going to answer that prayer request in His own time and His own way. But it says right here in Psalms 23, it says, the Lord. It doesn't say anybody else. It doesn't say the Holy Spirit. It doesn't say God. It says the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Now we could stop right there and we could just think on them thoughts right there. And we could think on that and we could probably preach from that one verse there from now until He comes back. Because see, He is the Lord of our life if you're saved. And He's the one that keeps us. And He's the one that sustains us. He's the one that gives us strength. And He's the one that gives us the ability to do what He would have us to do. And if we don't ask Him, if we don't seek Him, if we don't knock upon His heart and what He wants us to do and the way He wants to lead us, then I promise you and I promise anybody that they're going to end up going in the wrong direction. They're going to end up going the wrong way. And we don't need people to go the wrong way. You don't want to go the wrong way. Because at one time in our lives, we was all going in that wrong direction. But the Lord is my shepherd. And in verse 1 it says, He is leading us. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me into the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For Thou art with me, Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemy. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now the word right there, it says forever. It means we're going to dwell with the Lord in His own house where He is at from now to eternity. We're going to be with Him the rest of the days. There's not going to be no more dying. There's not going to be no more sickness. There's not going to be no the devil is not going to be there. The devil is not going to be there. The devil is right here with us tonight. Whether we want to believe it or not, he is in this house. But it's going to be up to each one of us how the devil uses God's people. Because it's nothing that the devil can do as long as we're faithful to God, as long as we are close to God, as long as we are living for God. The devil cannot attack us. We can go in the book of Job and we can see where Job was attacked. His wealth was attacked by the devil. He lost everything he had. He lost all his farmland. He lost all his cattle. He lost his family. He lost his children. Only thing he had left was his wife. He had his home. But the devil went to God and said, God, says, you know, I've got his wealth. I've got his cattle. I done took his children away from him. But it seemed like it. I can't get to Job. Job is the one that I want. But God told Satan, he told the devil, he said, well, you can do anything you want to him, but you cannot take his life. You cannot take his life. See, the devil cannot do anything to us unless God permits it. And God has to permit it. And I believe the only time that God will permit the devil to attack one of his children, and I think he shows us that in some of the other chapters and the other parts of the Bible, that if we're not completely faithful unto God and we're not completely in communion with God, we know the story about David. We know the little story about where he went out and he killed Goliath. We know about David when David sent out the other individuals into the field to fight the army where he should have been there fighting. And we also know the story of David where David, he slept with Bathsheba, I believe was her name. But he done everything he could. He thought he was pleasing God. He wanted to please God. But he wasn't pleasing God in the life that he was living. He thought he could hide from God. Basically, that's what David thought. He thought he could hide from God. But he come to find out he could not hide from God. We can't hide from God. The sin that we commit, the sin that I may commit, that I say, well, nobody else knows it. My pastor don't know it. My deacons don't know it. Nobody in the church knows it. It doesn't make no difference. It don't make no difference if everybody in the church knows about it. It doesn't make no difference if a pastor knows about it or the deacons or everybody outside the doors knows about it, because God knows about it. God knows everything that we do. And God knows when we're faithful to Him. But our Lord leads us through the valley. He leads us to the valley. Now, I never have had the opportunity to go to Israel. I've wanted to go, but I've never had the opportunity to go. I've never had the means to go. But I know of a missionary that he come and helped, and he helped a revival for me one time, and the next couple weeks after the revival, he was going to Israel. And he says, and he was trying to get me to go if I could raise the money. He said, I'll get you a place to stay, no problem. And I said, I just don't have the means to go. And I didn't get to go. But when he got back, he came back and he showed me some pictures of the places that he visited, him and the group had visited. And one of the places that they visited was where the 23rd Psalm was written, where David penned these verses down. And was there when they were standing on the hillside of that valley. And they looked down into that valley, And the only thing that they could see was a stream. It looked like something about that wide going across the valley. And it was green grass on both sides. And in that valley is where David began to get close to God. We have to get back to that valley in our life. You know, when we get so low where we can't go no further, we get down in that valley, that's where the richness of God's blessings is at. Is in that valley. Because you look on a mountaintop, you take a mountain out here, and when the storms come, when the rain comes, what happens? All the soil from the top comes down the mountain. It's in the lowlands. That's the reason you have farmers that go into the lowland and they'll plant the crops. They'll plant watermelons and cantaloupes and different things like that. Why? Because it's the richness of the soil. When we get into that valley, that's where the richness of God's blessings is at. And as we go to that valley, He can re-energize us, rejuvenate us to the point that we want to get back out of that valley. We want to get back out of that valley and we want to go out here and we want to do something for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But when you're down and when we're out and when we're in that valley, in the valley of life, we don't feel like going out and visiting. We might not even feel like coming to church. We don't feel like sometimes even praying. We don't feel like doing some of the things that God wants us to do. But as long as we stay in that valley, He's going to bless us. He's going to speak to us. He's going to encourage us. He's going to give us strength that we can go forward. And that where we can come out of that valley, and as we come out of that valley, that we can go into the place of service where He wants us to be at. There is an entrance into this valley, but there is also an exit out of the valley. There's an entrance and there's an exit in our life, in everything that we do. If we go and we turn to the devil, we turn to Satan and what he wants us to do, there's an entrance to him. But as we end up doing what he wants us to do, there's also an exit. An exit where we can come back out. And when we come back out, we can live a life that will be pleasing not only to the Lord, but it would bring some kind of hope, some kind of re-energize the people that we talk to. It will give them something to look forward to. This past Friday, I went to Piney Forest Nursing Home. Over there, them people over there, they are in the bed. And they want to come out. So they come out and they push them down in the bed. Down into the cafeteria area where they eat at. They'll come down there in the bed. And majority of them will come down in the wheelchair. And some come down there and you don't think they hear a thing you say. But they come out.
to hear something from the Lord. They want something that will stir them up, wants them to have a little hope. Because there are many people that's in the nursing home that don't have anybody. Oh yes, they got family out here, but the family's like they're doing what they want to do. They never go to the nursing home and visit them. And that's sad. It's sad. It really is.
But they enjoy. They just enjoy me coming. And I, every time that I leave Roman Eagle or Piney Forest or any place like that in a nursing home atmosphere, I feel like once I leave the faculties and I get outside, I say, Lord, I let them down today. And I let you down today. I said, because God, I received the bigger blessing than I believe that they received. They will bless you. I mean, I know that they stuck there. They can't get out, or they can't go from place to place, I hear. And they can't go out here and visit the church. And they can't go out here and witness to someone. Why? Because they're in the valley. But they also know that while they're in that valley, the Lord's still there with them. And like I said something to them Friday, I said, one of these days,
unless the Lord turns, you're not going to be in that valley for long. You're not going to be in that valley. You're going to be with the one that went and died for you. Yeah, if you, and I told him, I said, if you're here today and you're not saved, you need to get saved. But majority of them that was there raised their hands that they're just saved.
Someone could tell you exactly when the last time they was in church. And it's sad. We got people out here that won't even, I mean, God has given them almost a brand new automobile. Is put money in the back pocket to be able to put gas in the car just to drive a little ways to church, and they won't even do that. And they say they're saved. I don't see no fruit of salvation there. Because if there's any fruit of salvation in the life, they want to be in church somewhere. But they're in that valley. And who can help them out of that valley? We can. We can if we just go to them and speak to them. I tell the people that all the time when I go to Roman Eagle and Piney Forest. I says, there are people that you roll by this morning or this afternoon and coming to the services. They may have never been, or may have been, and they just don't feel like coming out tonight. They just don't feel good. I says, did you realize that all they're waiting for is somebody just to walk by them, smile at them, say to them, the Lord is say the Lord bless you. Me and Brother James Albert, we went out this past Thursday night, went to a revival. They just had two nights. But after we left, and he preached the revival, because the one that was supposed to be there, he had a death in his church and he couldn't come, so the pastor of the church asked him if he would come. And when we left that night, I told him, I said, you know, this is what I believe, and I believe this wholeheartedly, I really do. What's wrong with the Christians today? And it's not but two words that they will not say. And I says, and that's the reason I just say it when I'm going down the highway. If I'm by myself, I'll say it. If my wife's in a car, I'll say it. But the only two words is, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. People think that they're the two hardest words. Well, there was for me too. But I was listening to a message on the radio one time, and this preacher said the same thing. He says, it's two words that we as Christians can't say and really won't say. And them two words is, I'm sorry. And like I said, I'll be going down the highway, and me and my wife, we'll be going to church, or we'll be going somewhere, or whatever, and I'll just, all of a sudden, it's like, I'm sorry. And sometimes it catches her off guard, and she said, well, what have you done now? But hey, we need to learn. We should not ever get too proud. We should not never get too high and mighty that we cannot say, I'm sorry. Would you believe that it may be an individual that's a member of this church that has got out of church, is just sitting at home? And the only thing that they want to hear, they may be the one that's caused of what friction or whatever, and the reason that they left or whatever. But what they're looking for somebody just to step forward. What happened? Jesus Christ stepped forward for us. He knew no sin. He stepped forward for me. And I had all kinds of sin on my life. But he stepped forward for me. And he gave his ultimate price, the death on the cross, that I could have life. So why do we think that we, and I am too good to say, go to somebody and say, I'm sorry. Whether I've done anything wrong or not. One thing about it, being the individual that I probably said, I'm sorry to you, we'll start having speaking again. We'll start having fellowship again. Then the next thing you know, it'll be right back to church. Well, it needs to be all the time. And God has a special plan, I believe, for people that's willing to step forward and say, I'm sorry. Just like Jesus said, I'm going and I'm going to pay the price. And while he was hanging on the cross, he told his Father, he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I'm sorry, for they know not what they've done. For they know not what they've said. Or for they know not what they may have caused. We must be the bigger one. We must be the bigger Christian and say, I'm sorry. And you say, well, I've had people say, well, you can go to them, you can say, oh, I'm sorry, all you want to them. They ain't going to get back in church and everything. They said they'd have been hurt so many times, they ain't get back in church. I said, have you ever went and tried it? You went and tried it? They said, no. I said, well, how do you know it won't work? How do you know it won't work? Maybe God wants you to be the bigger individual,
the bigger person of the two, and to go say, "I'm sorry," while they're down in the valley. Because God is the only one that can bring them out of the valley. And God will give them something that they haven't had before.
There is an exit out of the valley. We have the sign that we can hold up and say, "I'm sorry." And with that, with them two words, "I'm sorry," is an exit for them to get out of the valley. To coming back into fellowship with the people. Verse 4 says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." We don't fear God anymore like we should. People today don't fear God anymore. I mean, they don't mind going out. I mean, people have been in the church and, oh yes, they're singing, "Oh, how I love Jesus. Victory and amazing grace," and all of them things, and they raise their hand and everything, but yet then they'll turn around on Monday morning and Tuesday and any other time during the week, and they'll do some of the ungodly thing that they do, and they will not allow God to work in their life. Why? It's about me. What can I do? Preacher, what can I do? What can I do for you this week? Some of them will go do it. Then the next thing you know, they'll be out telling other people what they've done. God's not going to bless that. God don't bless in people that pats itself on the back. In the self-righteousness. God's not going to bless that. God is going to bless the one the way He's protected. God protects us each and every day. And as He protects us, He blesses us through the situations that we did not get caught up in. I've been out and driving from home to a church, be North Carolina or Isla Vista or Mount Airy, somewhere like that, Durham or wherever. And something will come up that morning, and I'm aiming to be there at the church for Sunday school, then preaching at 11 o'clock. But something would happen. Always happen. I always come up that I never did make it to Sunday school. I was always late leaving the house. And at one time I was so fretted with myself, because it looked like every time I left, I was leaving the house late. And I could never make it to the Sunday school hour. And I like to make it to the Sunday school hour because I like to make it to where, not only that, but I can get my thoughts together. And I can have a little time and shaking hands with the people and meeting with the people there. But that was one time that I left late. And but that time I didn't leave as late as I have been. Come to find out, they had an accident about 20 minutes early on this road. If I'd have left on time,
could have been, and maybe I probably would have been, in the middle of that accident. So we
should never question God, but we do. We question Him all the time. Why, God? Why do you want me to go through this? Why do you want me to go through that? Well, He wants us to go through them things to where we can be a stronger individual, where we can be strong in His service for Him. Because this day and time, when you're dealing with people, when you're going to the houses, and when you're knocking on doors, and when you're inviting people to church, whether they at the house or whether they're in Walmart or Sam's or wherever it may be, Kmart or Sears, it doesn't matter. You never know what kind of reaction you're going to get from your people. You don't know. Hey, I've had them to cuss me out. I mean, they don't care. I mean, you can go and you can go into places, a place of business, and some of the things that comes out of their mouths, and knowing that they are Christian right around them, maybe shopping. They don't care. They don't know nobody. They don't know nobody. See, they don't know who's a Christian and who's not a Christian. And that's the reason I think that we, as pastors, we as ministers, we as preachers, we as leaders within the church, we need to let the people know, and we need to let the people, we need to start calling other people by saying, if we're in the mall or something like that, and if I see Bill up in the mall, I ain't supposed to talk. Go and say, hey, how you doing, Bill? If I go up and say, how you doing, Bill? What are they going to think? They don't know if he's a Christian or not. But if I go up and say, how you doing, Bill? Let me know. I mean, that's what we need to do. Hey, how you doing, sister? Hey, ain't we brothers and sisters in the Lord? We're brothers and sisters in the Lord. And that's the way we need to teach our brothers and sisters in the Lord. And that's the way the world idea should see us. What church do they need? They would call you sisters and brothers. What church do they need? Are they going to one of these other churches? No. We're following the Lord Jesus Christ's example. That's what it is. We following what He had pinned down for us to look at and to follow. This week I would love to find you out. And if you happen to see somebody that maybe does a member of this church, or maybe that you know that's saved and they went to another church, but then you just got something happened and they just got out of church, would you ask the Lord to help you this week? If you happen to see them or happen to talk to them somewhere, would you ask the Lord to help you to save that individual? You don't have to say anything else. You don't have to tell them. If they ask you what I'm sorry about, you don't have to elaborate. You can say, I'm sorry. I'd love to see you back in the church. I'd love to see you get back in the house of God.
If you don't give the one back, if you speak to five different people all week, if you speak to five, and you speak to five, or six, and you, each one of y'all speak to five or six different people all week, if number one of them said, well, you know, like I need this. That's more than said before. That's more than said before. Just ask the Lord. Tell me. Say, I'm sorry. And that's not saying that you've done anything wrong. That's not saying that I've done anything wrong with you. Because see, the Lord knows. The Lord knows if we've done anything wrong against the people or not. And the Lord knows if we didn't do anything wrong. And then we go ahead and we say, I'm sorry. Everyone saying, I did bad and I spoke. Our Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for this day. Now, Father, we ask, Lord God, that you'll be with the people. Father, be with the ones in mind. And Father, not on these people, but Father, we pray, Lord Jesus, that you'll help everyone, every born-again believer, and Father, to realize within our heart and soul, and Father, that we need to realize that we need to say that I'm sorry. Because, Father, we know that you know the intent of our heart. We want to see people back in church. We want to see the saved back in church and fellowshipping with you, fellowshipping with the people. And, Father, that they can be able to bring lost people into the church, Father. And, Father, where they can walk the aisle and, Father, be saved. And, Father, we don't know any other way to put it. We just need to say, I'm sorry, I believe within our hearts. Father, we've tried so many other things, Lord. And Father, we followed your leadership, but Lord, it seems like, Father God, that the people are just not hearing us. But Father, we know, Lord Jesus, that your word will not come back forward on us. Father, not on just the preaching of thy word, but Father, even the one that goes out in Jesus. Delivers the message and delivers the word to them. And then bring them and encourage them to the people. Father, we know, Lord, that you will not allow that to come back no more. Father, I know, Lord Jesus, that one day, Father, we may not see it happen on this side, but Lord, when we get it home, and when we see the welcome sign, when the open them gates, when we walk in, we may ask some people to come up to us and say, you remember where you came from me and you saw me? You said two words, I'm sorry. That made a difference in my life. Because I